Welcome to the house of the Lord.
United Methodist Men's Breakfast is next Saturday at 8 o'clock.
The women are going to be in the fellowship hall for the tea, so we're going to be going to Cracker Barrel. So let's go to Cracker Barrel for our men's breakfast at 8 o'clock at Wolf Drive at 995. If you know where that is, we hope that you can come out and join us for our men's breakfast next Saturday at 8 o'clock. So come and join us for that as well. We have a new Bible study starting on Wednesday, May 11th at 7 o'clock. That's going to be a group leading. We've got three facilitators that are going to come and lead us for that. So we hopefully on the 11th we'll be ready to get back into a study. The reason I'm not leading it, I'm trying to do my own studies for Candler School of Theology this summer. I'm going to be going away for about 4 weeks for seminary courses up in Atlanta. So that's why I need my time to study myself. So I'm doing that quite heavily today. And I covet your prayers in that regard as well. So be sure to join us for our Bible study on May 11th in the Fellowship Hall. Matthew Meals yesterday, we had our usual great group come out. We had 16 volunteers to work. They served 158 meals yesterday. And as well, we had our food pantry, and we served 36 families this month with food and much-needed items that they need as well. Many things still going on in the life of our church, even though it's the summer and the numbers have sort of dwindled. But that's okay. Church still goes on. The needs in our own church family and community continue to be there. So we are definitely going to continue doing God's work during the summer. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
young shepherd, you know our names, you care for us. When we face darkness and death, walk beside us. When we hunger for your love, fill us with your presence. When we are fearful, feed us at your table. May we dwell in the house of goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. Amen.
Good morning. Our second one is He is our peace. So again, we may be small in numbers, but we should be able to sing out. And Matthew 6:9 says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name."
As long as we don't do what? Put it in front of God. That we don't worship money, that we don't go to work on Sunday so we can make more money and stay out of church and we just want to have our money. So the man left, the young man, he left discouraged because he said, I don't want to give up my money, but I do want to go to heaven. And Jesus said, that's not possible. We've got to give up things, and it's just not about money. We have to give up things that keep us away from God. What do you like to do more than anything else? What's your favorite thing to do that you can say in church? Well, I better clarify that right at the moment. I don't know why that thought came into my head. Parents get nervous when I start asking these questions. What do you like? What's your favorite thing? Playing soccer? No? What's your favorite thing? Your puppy? Okay, I know you like your puppy. And this is sort of unfair because that's really not fair. But if your puppy kept you from coming to church, that could be a problem, wouldn't it? If you had to stay home and take care of your puppy and couldn't come to church or do anything at church or scouts or any of the other things, because you're in Boy Scouts now too, right? Cub Scouts. So what if you had to give up your puppy so you could go to church? That's not fair. See, that's not fair. That's a terrible, terrible, terrible example to use. I'm with you. I pray for you. I can't say that. Well, just someone here in trouble, like you wouldn't believe. We would have to make arrangements for someone or the puppy to be taken care of so we can come to church. Does that make sense? Because we can't let something keep us from God, can we? We could make arrangements so you wouldn't have to give a puppy, I'm sure. Right, Mom? Right, Mom? I know. That's a bad example because I would make other arrangements. I would give up my puppy. But we're not going to let that keep us from God, okay? So we have to give up some things sometime, or at least not make them more important than God. Okay? All right. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for your example of the rich young ruler that had all that money, but he didn't want to give it up for God. He didn't want to put God first in his life. Father, I pray that we, as people of your church, put you first in our lives. Father, we love you. Bless these young people. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, good deal. Off to Sunday school. I know he loves his puppy. It's the time of our service when we go before the Lord in prayer. And I can tell you, we've got a long list of folks needing our prayers today. As usual, there's a lot of sickness and illness and injury in our church. So let me lift these names up to you this morning. Dan Walsh, good to see Dan in church today. He's doing well. He's been back to work. He's got to do pacemaker, so he's running on all cylinders this morning. He's good. Audra Miller, she got some bad news this week as well. There have been some tests on her and things. I'm thinking she might have cancer, so there'll be more testing done in the first part of the week. So keep Audra definitely in your prayers. She spent several days in the day, but she did come home on Friday. So just lift up Audra in prayer. Mary Ann Davis as well. She's at Signature Healthcare, getting her rehab done, and she's doing very well. Her spirits are good. We just have to pray for healing. Dorothy Leon, Miss Dorothy, we're so glad you're here today, Dorothy.
Yeah.
Good to see you. She spent some time in rehab as well, and now back in her apartment, but she fractured her hip and she's healed. That's amazing.
Right.
Praise. Thank you, God. Susan Page, a friend that we know through the church, had shoulder surgery as well. Continue to pray for her. Darren Fields as well. He was in a car accident. See Darren this morning, but he's had some bumps and bruises from that. And just praise that he survived this automobile accident. Pastor Peter Alfieri, I spoke with him this week. He continues to have vision and hearing problems and balance issues. So Pastor Peter is really in need of our prayers. Maybe a phone call. I know it's hard to get a hold of him, but still, if you could just lift Peter up in your prayers. The family of Norman Johnson, Judy Johnson's father, passed away on Thursday, so keep her and her family in your prayers as well. She's still taking care of her mother with Alzheimer's, and she's got a lot Judy in your prayer as well. Michael Garrett, he's doing well. And I'm just reading these now because I haven't had time to look at them yet. But he's doing good. There's travel mercies for him. Evelyn, thank you very much for giving us an update. Sherry Terrazon is in pain. Waiting appointment for back surgery. That's Chuck Blankenship's daughter. Joyce Blankenship as well is having some stomach issues this morning. Our 97-year-old aunt, Merle, is suffering from congestive heart failure and has been in the hospital now, doing a little better. So, Aunt Merle, we're praying for you. Darlene Church will be having eye surgery on Wednesday, May 4th. So, Darlene, we will definitely keep you in our prayers for successful surgery. Pray for Sherry and her sister, who's recovering from an illness as well. Jean, for healing and strength, and was praying for improved health so she can return home to Syracuse, New York. So keep Jean in your prayers. Judy Johnson, of course, and her family. Arthur Miller. And McCartney is going to have a hip replaced on Tuesday the 3rd. So we're rebuilding her better than ever. So keep Anne McCartney in your prayers. In your prayers this week. Mark O'Hannis, Bernice O'Hannis's, is this your son, Bernice?
Yes.
Okay. Her son is in Wellington with pneumonia and heart issues, so I pray for Mark, if you would. Chris's friend and daughter, need help with a job and a new home. Praying for Chris, Chris's friend this morning. A long list today. We obviously have plenty of need in our church for God's healing presence in all of our lives. So we're just grateful that we have this opportunity now to lift these concerns up to the Lord. Would you pray with me, please? Holy and loving God, we are grateful for this place. We're grateful for this opportunity that you've given us to come and lay our burdens, our concerns, our praises, our thanksgiving at the foot of the cross. Father, today as we gather around Jesus' table, Father, I pray that it would be renewed. I pray that healing could take place. Father, we love you. We lift up our concerns to you today. And the reason we do that is because we know you're listening. Father, we know that you are taking our concerns into your heart, that you are working through these situations, that you are healing where healing is necessary, you are mending where we are broken. And Father, more than anything, you are blessing us to be your children. Father, I am grateful for the way you have worked in the lives of the members of this church. You have changed lives. You have restored spirit. You have renewed and awakened your presence. Father God, just from the list lifted here today, it seems our problems can be overwhelming. But Father, that's just a group of people that have gathered here this morning. Outside of these church walls is a hurting and devastated world. Father, today we pray for those outside of these walls that have no hope, that have nowhere to turn, they think. But Father, I am praying that you would turn them towards church, that you would turn them towards Lakeside United Methodist Church so we can pull along beside, so we can lift them up, so we can walk this journey called life with them. Father, I pray for you to guide this church, to allow us to be that beacon, to be that church that reaches out to the unchurched. To be the ones that says, come along beside me. The ones that say, I'm not perfect, but I'm willing to try harder each day. Father, we are all broken. We're all sinners. And we know that. We realize that. We accept that. But Father, we do not want to be that way. Father, we want to be Jesus with skin on. We want to be Jesus to the world. Father, help us in that. Help us to bring about change where we are planted. So, Father, today I pray for us as a church. I pray for each one of us individually that we can be the people of God, that we can be the people of hope. Father, as Christians, we cannot be hopeless. We have the greatest gift of all, who will share with us around this table this morning. So, Father, bless our time together. Bless those that serve so thankfully from this church. For those that serve Matthew Meats, for work in the food pantry, for work in the outreach ministries of this church, Father, I give you thanks for them. Father, we love you. We give you the praise. We pray in Jesus' holy and precious name this morning. Amen.
Thank you.
Father, multiply it in the house of the Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come and lead us in our hymn of preparation.
One of those women was Lydia, a Gentile God worshiper
from the city of Thyatira, a dealer in purple cloth. As she listened, the Lord enabled her to embrace Paul's message. Once she and her household were baptized, she urged, "Now that you have decided that I am a believer in the Lord, come and stay in my house." And she persuaded us. May God add a blessing to the reading of this word. Let's pray. Gracious God, let us be, let us live our lives in the example of Lydia. Father, open to the Holy Spirit to come and reside and dwell within us. Father, I pray this message today would touch us deep in our spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lydia, most of you probably know the story. She was not just an ordinary woman, was she? In that day, women were supposed to cook and clean, take care of the house, the children. They were to be seen and not heard. Much like today, right? I got rocks, don't rush the stand. We put this up here just to remind you. Back in that day, everyone knew the women's place was in the home. But this Lydia, she was different. She had a business. She was a businesswoman. She sold an item that was not easy to come by. It was hard to get. It was something that not everyone could purchase. It was very expensive. So as Paul gathered at the river that day, with I'm sure many people seeking to find their place in the world, do you know your place in life yet? Some of you are doing this, some of you are doing that. We don't always know our place in the world every day, do we? It can change. We would pray that as we get older, we would get some bearing on that. But I can tell you, as I get older, some days it's like, God, what are we doing here? And then He reminds me, and we carry on. People have gone to great lengths, drastic lengths, to find out, what is my lot in life? You've heard people sell their homes, sell their property, sell everything they have and get in the car and drive off into the wild blue yonder, trying to seek out what God, most of the time it's not what God has in store for me, but what I have in store for me. What can I drum up for myself in the world? Lydia found her place. She was successful in business. But the Lord showed up, and she was changed. Our text today says she was a God believer before Paul came to town. But when Paul spoke of the good news of Jesus Christ, her life was changed. She was a vessel for the Holy Spirit. I pray for us today, standing and sitting here today, that the Holy Spirit, when they come knocking at our door, there's some space for them, for the Holy Spirit. I want you to ponder that today. Is there enough space within your life for the Holy Spirit? That was part of my children's message today. If we have things that take the place of God, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Can golf and fishing and fun things like that be a sin? It can if it keeps you from God. Can things that are more fun than church be better for us? Temporarily it can. Well, Lydia gave us an example to go by. She presented herself to the Lord and she was open. Isn't it amazing how her family as well was open to the message? She must have lived it. Her home must have been a place the Holy Spirit could reside. When it came time to be baptized, they were all more than willing. I love how this scripture started where we picked up in chapter 9. It said Paul's vision was of a man calling for help. Paul gets over there, and the first person that they convert is a woman. The first person that recognizes the message that Paul is bringing is a woman. Now, next Sunday is Mother's Day. We've all got a mother. Some are still with us, some are not. Mom, I'm glad you're still with us. This is that moment in ministry when you go blank and you say, where do I go from here? I've opened the door for something, and now I need to put something in the door. Let me tell you how many times you know how God used women in the Bible. This week, I wanted to focus before Mother's Day, focus on how God uses women. What are some of the things that happened? Women are a vehicle for ministry. Who was the first person to prompt Jesus to do a miracle?
His mother.
Who ministered to Christ during his public ministry? The women. Who anointed the body of Jesus? Who stayed with Jesus throughout his trial and crucifixion? Who were the first witnesses to the resurrected Savior? We do pretty good today, but who is the greatest population in our churches today? I thank God for the men that come to church. Why is it women are still coming to church and seeking God out of it? A lot of men do not. I thank you men for being a part of this church. I must say, we here probably have a pretty good ratio of men to women. That God uses women in ministry. Maybe it took a man in Paul's vision to get his attention. What if a woman would have came in that vision and said, hey Paul, come on over. But when Paul got there, where did they go? Down on the riverbank to pray. And who were there but the women? So today we're trying to find our place in the world. Where do we find our place? We show our place with God in prayer, in our church, in the good works that we try to do. Are we going to get to heaven by the works we do? We're going to get to heaven by the works we do when we are revealing through those works the work of God. I love that perspective there. Our works are not going to get us to heaven, but our works are going to show others the love of Christ and help others get to heaven. You ever think about it like that? Your works are not going to get you to heaven, but they're going to get someone else to heaven. They're going to be that catalyst to open someone else's eyes. So we'll look at those three things this morning. Where do we find our place? Where are we fed and nurtured? I talk about it here all the time. Small group ministry, prayer. A prayer ministry is vital to the life of the church. That day when Paul went down to the river, their group went down, they're looking for a place to pray. My hope and prayer for you is that every day you're going before the Lord in prayer. Every day. If you're not, we spend a lot of times wandering lost in the world. We've got to pray, people. Paul, he did what everybody does when they go to a new place. They wandered around, they sightseed, they were discovering where the people met. When they found these folks at the river, they went, they sat down with them, and they were having a prayer meeting. Matthew 18 tells us, "Again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them as well." I pray that in your prayer life you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I pray that for you. Prayer has greater force when we unite in prayer. When we gather and pray, God really, really, really appreciates us gathering together. Today, I'm urging you to find a place to pray for one. I would love for this church to have more organized prayer time. We meet here on Sunday morning. We meet on Wednesday evenings during our Bible study time on Wednesdays. We always close with prayer. We lift up those that need prayer. But prayer is vital in the life of the church. We need to do it every day. We've got all kinds of things to distract us today, don't we? Our fancy phones, our TVs, our computers. Those are things that can take us away from our prayer life. We've got to be in worship. We've got to come to church on Sunday. We've got to come to church on Wednesday. You know, when it tells of the early disciples, when they gathered, they worshiped daily. How many are with me if we start worshiping daily here? Will you come in every day and worship? How are we going to make a living? How are we going to work? How are we going to watch the Wheel of Fortune? How are we going to watch play bingo? If we don't come here on a daily basis to pray and to be in worship, we need to find those opportunities. We need to find an opportunity to share the good news of Christ. Our society's maxed out. We've got too much going on. We're overworked. We're overbooked. We're overloaded. Anyone say in their life, something's got to change. I can't go on like this. Well, the answer is, give up some of those things and put God in His place. If we're not available, if we're not open to people, if we're trying to live our lives filled with things of the world, there's no time for God. There's no time for the things of God. The third thing I wanted to talk about was our service, our works. Where does our good work show? And I like this thought process of our works are not going to get us to heaven, but our works are going to get others to heaven. How many of you were here for Matthew Meals on Saturday and worked in the food pantry? Have done something where you represented God to the community this week? Were you blessed by that?
Oh, amen.
I always say it's a blessing to be a blessing. It's amazing in my life, when I thought I was doing something so great to help someone else, God said, you know what, I'm going to give you a little more. And I always come away feeling that I'm the one that's been blessed. That's how God uses it. God's economy. God puts people in our lives. You might be that person. Do you believe sitting here today that you can change someone's life?
Yeah.
It's you. You may be the only Bible someone ever reads. You may be the only Christian someone has an opportunity to see. And you may do things in your everyday life that you think no one notices. And that's really the way it should be in our own mind. But I guarantee you, God is opening the eyes of someone else that's watching you. That's making you the example. So don't mess that up, by the way. When someone's watching you, when you claim on one day to be a Christian, and the next day, you really cuss someone out really good. And someone says, see, I told you, that's how those Christians are. Holier than thou one day, and the next day, the breath of Satan will call them. Isn't that radical? No. But what is radical is people are watching you as a Christian. If you're going to claim to be a Christian, let there be enough evidence to convict you in court of law that you're a Christian. And we're on the right track. So our works won't get us to heaven, but they'll help others maybe find their way. I love the story of Lydia. She seems to be very successful. She seems to have the things that people work for in life. And yet she takes the time out of her life to influence her family so that they too want to be baptized. Made whole for eternity. That's the message for you today. Women of the church, I thank you. I thank you for allowing God to use you. Men, that doesn't let you off the hook. You've got the same work to do that women do. Work side by side. What do we mean by good works? We know what those good works are. We do some of them here, feeding the hungry, the homeless. If we're there for someone in the point of their life when they're seeking Jesus, and we can be the one to say, look at my example. Let me be Lydia to this person. Let me be the one to say, God is the answer. We've got to do it. We've got to be the hands and feet of God. Folks, if you want to find your place in life, I've given you an example today. Get involved in prayer. Come to church every week. Or if you want to join me every... You know, I can't do that right now. I'm too busy. God has put an endeavor before me for the rest of this month. It takes a lot of my time. I'll tell you the hardest thing for me about the study and the pre-course work to go up to Emory University this summer is taking me away from you all. I love you all, and I want to be with you. When you're in the hospital, I want to come and sit with you. I want to do things with you. I want to be here for you. That's how I know God has worked powerfully in my life. Because when it takes me away from the ministry I believe He's called me to, I'm sad about that. Now, I know this education thing is something I have to do. It's very important. I have to do this. It's good. It's a good thing. But I feel like it's taking me away from my church and my friends and my family. And you don't know how distracted I am, sitting at home at my desk trying to write and do the things I need to do, knowing that someone's in the hospital, knowing that someone's probably sad today, you could use a phone call. But then God says, is there someone else to pick up that ball for you? So those of you that do some of the things that I'm speaking about, I appreciate that. You're taking some of the load from my shoulders. But I know someone that needs a phone call or a visit, that you're there to do that. So I thank you for that. We're a team. It's not just me standing here, it's us as a team. So like Lydia, when she invited them to come back to her house and stay with me, Lydia's gift also is hospitality. We need to reach out to those hurting in our world. Just as Jesus reached out to us. Today, we get to share in the sacred act of Holy Communion. And I'm sure that when Lydia invited the disciples, Paul's group, back to her home, that's the other thing we must remember. After working all day in the market and selling her purple cloth, do you think she had to run home and make dinner for her guests? Somebody should have did. Aren't women great? Women are awesome. But like that table that she invited Paul and his disciples and his group back to their house, Jesus has made that same invitation to us. Hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be obedient to your church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from the joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right, and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. In the beginning, your Spirit moved over the face of the waters. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. Your Spirit came upon prophets and teachers, anointing them to speak your word. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. At his baptism in the Jordan, your Spirit descended upon him and declared him your beloved Son. With your Spirit upon him, he turned away the temptations of sin. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from the slavery to sin and death, and made with us the new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and with fire, as on the day of Pentecost. On the day in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it, saying, take me, for this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after the supper, he took the cup. He proclaimed it to them to be the new covenant. He was the new covenant between us and God. He lifted the cup to the heavens and said, Father, bless this, for this is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins, for you and for many. Do this in remembrance of me each time you drink of it. On the day that he was raised from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is dying. Christ is risen. Christ is alive again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood and empowered by the gifts of the Spirit. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, showing forth the fruit of the Spirit until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now let us pray together as the children of God. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Those helping with communion, please come forward. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful for this meal that heals. Father, where we're broken and we don't even have a clue, I pray that we are renewed, re-energized, and set free from the burdens of our lives. Father, I pray today that you would lead us, guide us, and give us the spirit of hospitality. Father, let us take Lydia's example and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this gift of eternal salvation. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn, Go Make of All Disciples, number 571.
Thank you.
this benediction. Father, as we leave this place, let us take the spirit of living with us. Father, let us be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. Let those look at us and see God through us. Father, we love you. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I don't do that.